Welcome to The Conversation. This is episode 117. It's just you and me. So listen, enjoy, and let the magic begin.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to The Conversation. It's episode 117. So if you think to yourself, Bird, where were you last week? Why weren't you here globally on these amazing airwaves? Well, I was snowboarding last week. It sort of came up as a massive surprise. So I was away in the Alps, really in probably one of the best weeks of snow with blue skies I've ever had with my little man, who's the wee man who, I've got to say, I'm very proud of this. Well, I am, and my ego can't handle it very much. But anyway, he is faster than me. I know, Jackie, you weren't expecting that at all. Anyway, oh, he is. He's faster than me. I'm proud, but my ego is having a bit of a problem with it. Anyway, my name is Sarah Ann Lucas. All my friends and family call me Bird, and I would love you to do the same. So here on The Conversation, it's about you and I having a conversation with the most beautiful, extraordinary humans who are doing things in the world that you might never even heard about or come across, or it's part of your activities of daily living, and you think, oh my goodness, I need to hear the wisdom of what they had. And this all came about years ago. I mean, years ago. Do you remember when Periscope was just coming onto the scene? And I used to hear people come on and do their Facebook lives and they'd tell me how wonderful they are. And it wasn't true. So I thought, I know. I want to hear conversations with people about their truth, about what they believe to be true. So here on today's conversation is with you. It's with me and Jackie Murphy. Now, before I go into your bio, Jackie, I came across Jackie. It's the funniest conversation. And we'll talk about, I'll tell you what, I'll say your bio and then we'll talk about our initial first conversation. So Jackie Murphy is an accredited animal behaviourist who for the past 12 years runs her extremely successful training and behaviour consultancy business in Kent. She's a specialist dog trainer. She obtained her graduated diploma in animal behaviour management from Compass Education and Training in 2017 and holds many qualifications in the animal sector. Now, Jackie also holds her qualified teaching learning skills status, which is the badge of professional for education and training. Is that petals, kettles, dettles? Do you know what? I went and gone and done, tried to do that. Oh my God, it drove me mad. So you're one of those teachers that, yes. The amount of, but you can talk, Jackie. The amount of paperwork.
I'm trying to get words in edgeways.
You won't be able to. You will in a minute. It's your minute. But the amount of paperwork you have to do is crazy.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when she was not working, let me go back. Jackie, she works with owners and their dogs. Now, I want you to hear that. She works with owners and their dogs on both training and behaviour, which can be held at the owner's home or at her new training and behaviour centre in Kent. And Jackie makes a real difference, not only in the dogs' lives, but also in the lives of their human companions. When she's not working with the owners, with their owners and their dogs, she spends all her time with her two German Shepherd dogs called Teddy and Bear, and they're amazing. But before we begin the conversation and before I tell you the funniest story you'll ever come across, let's just catch up from our last show, which was Marianne Page. So we go deep into Marianne's 27 years in McDonald's and how her award-winning McDonald's experience makes her one of the most qualified experts in the world on the practicalities of implementing simple, logical and repeatable systems in every area of your business. Now, come and hear me say, and I say it out loud, and I have no shame, and you might be thinking, but Bird, you don't agree with eating rubbish food and toxins. I don't look at McDonald's as a burger joint. I look at it, and I love the business model of McDonald's. It's amazing. And we talk, and we go deep into the simplicity of what they teach everywhere, all the way through their business. So if you missed the live show last week and the Listen Again on Channel Radio's website, then you can listen to Marianne Page on Burden of Bikes podcast on SoundCloud or iTunes or Stitcher or iHeartRadio or Spotify. I'm everywhere. It's Burden of Bike, the conversation. Or if you think, where was it? Go onto my website, which is burdenofbike.co.uk, and you can listen to the radio show there. So wherever you are, there I am. So without further ado, it is my true honour to share with you today, Jackie Murphy. Welcome.
Thank you, Bird. Welcome.
It's over to you now, love.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, it's all yours.
Fine.
How are you? You all right?
I'm good, thanks.
Before
How are you?
I'm really well. Do you know what? It's very rare anybody asks me, so thank you.
You're welcome.
You've just done your first Facebook Live.
I know.
I always do a Facebook Live and just get everybody to go, oh, my God, I need to listen to the show. And I've just presumed, and you're like, oh, my gosh, yeah. You did well.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about you, about dog behaviourists, why you call yourself a dog behaviourist and not a dog whisperer, because it seems to be an in thing, doesn't it, at the minute?
I think there's lots and lots of different sort of labels that are around. And I think one of the key things is I wanted to be very sort of open with people on exactly what I want to do. And I think if you, for me, actually saying that I'm a behaviorist and I also am a trainer, it just wipes away, for me, anything gimmicky. It's very clear.
And I think as well, if you call yourself a behaviourist, you're looking at the behaviour of the dog and the owner. If you call yourself a dog whisperer, it's like you are the only person that can do it to that dog.
Yeah.
And actually, as I'm learning from you, that it's me.
Yeah, absolutely. It's unfortunately or fortunately sort of a good sort of high percentage of problems that behaviourists and trainers see is down to owner input.
Yeah. I came across you completely by accident, and it was really funny how you spoke to me on the phone. It was just so funny. But I had a terrible incident, and luckily it didn't end up being an accident, but an incident with Honey, the dog. And I feel that if I hadn't have had it so extreme, I would never have called you. And I said that to you. I've always said it. It needed to be so extreme and shock me that it was like, right, I am completely incompetent now and I need to take responsibility of the dog. And Honey's a dream, really, isn't she? It's just this one area where the outside world, other than me, is really exciting and I'm not. Yep. So her focus is external to me and she's not worried about me at all. She's gone into this exciting world. So I rang Jackie and literally I didn't know Jackie at this point. I just Googled and looked through and thought, is this the person that I believe? And I asked you at the time as well, why should I have you as my trainer? Because we don't know. You could have done a 2-day course. Mm-hmm. We just don't know. And then that's when you said to me, Bird, I know you and blah, blah, blah. And then you came to my house and that started our relationship. And we just started to create from there. So tell us where you are at the minute. What are you doing in your business?
Okay, so at the minute, we're fortunate enough to move last March. So we've got a new property. Because my dream was to actually have a training and behavioural centre. So it's taken me a very long time to get a place where it had the space for the land for me to actually offer different services and to help owners and obviously help dogs as well. So, yeah, we're in the process of redecorating our home, or it's like rebuilding a home, and also in the process of actually sort of expanding and changing some of the services that I do. So instead of me sometimes running around and going to see people can sort of eventually sort of, well, they have started to actually come to see
so
me.
So like me, isn't it? You came to my home first off.
Yep.
Why do you do that? Why do you go to the owner's home?
Okay. It's really important that when you look at a training or a behaviour, you need to look at the dog or the animal in its own environment. Because if you take that animal out of the environment, it will change its behaviour. We all do. We are more comfortable within our home. So by going to the home, you actually look and observe the animal, obviously, in its own environment. So you're looking at the animal holistically. So you can ask the owner, more questions because they feel more comfortable because they're in their own environment. So they're more likely to relax as well. You can see a lot more. So you can see what the behavior is, but you can also see where the animal lives, where the animal eats, what it's eating. And you can gain a lot more information sort of from that visit and from that first visit rather than people come to me.
Mm. I didn't even think about the food when you came to me or that there was a problem, and there was.
Mm.
Yeah. And you picked it up straight away and I got quite emotional.
Yeah.
Do you find that with people? Do you find that this is a really emotional journey that you go on with somebody?
Absolutely. And while you were just asking me that, one lady sprung to mind. She's disabled. She wanted a puppy to train to help her do things like pull washing out the washing machine. She wanted to still take the puppy for a walk or the dog for a walk. So she'd got a motorized wheelchair. And she wanted sort of like all these things. And she had previous help. And it wasn't for her the right type of help. So she contacted me and I went round to see her. And we looked at everything that she wanted to achieve. And at the end of it, she just burst into tears and hugged me and said, thank you. She said, you understood my disability or you know, my lack of mobility, not only in the home, but outside.
Mm.
And she said, you were able to help me train my puppy. And this dog now, you know, I've helped her sort of, the dog will open doors, close doors, get washing out the washing machine, will help pick pegs up to give it to her, will walk nicely beside her motorized wheelchair. So there's lots of things. And it's made an enrichment of her life because she's able to get out.
What do you see from people that they desperately want change in their animal?
Yeah.
But something's missing. What do you see?
What do I see? I see often sometimes a lack of connection between the owner and the dog. I sometimes see often unrealistic goals that the owner wants. So the owner may want sort of something that's they want perhaps a normal dog and their dog may not be able to give them that. And I often say to people, what is normal? We don't know. You know, we're all different species and we're all different individuals and so are our dogs. So it's often sometimes saying to the owner and bringing them back down and finding that sort of like that happy medium so that you can work with the owner and the dog. And sometimes it's lack of understanding on what the owner perceives that the behaviour or the lack of the training is something very different to what I go in and see.
Would you say, and I'm going to, because I take full responsibility for, and we've done this before, would you say that people are ready when they come to you, because they're usually desperate, aren't they? They're on their knees with, help me, Jackie. Yeah.
They're in pain.
Yes, they're in pain. Mm. Are they ready to change?
Some are, and some perhaps may do it, because I do 3 sessions with owners. So sometimes people get it at the first session, some people get it at the second session, and some people may get it at the third, some may not get it at all. And I may get a phone call or email sort of a month down the line, and they've got it. They've understood that they need to put the work in.
And it is. It's a lot of work.
It is.
Every day.
Yep.
Consistently.
Yep.
Commitment.
Yep.
And I've been getting it wrong.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm.
So is it, and this is why I laugh, because I know we've talked about this, is it the owner that has the behavioural problems that is transferring it to the dog? Where is this relationship?
Right. So sometimes it can be, because sometimes it's the owner perhaps that would get worried or stressed or anxious. And that can feed into the dog. And again, I can give you an example. It was a training class. Mm. And I often, to help owners understand the importance of walking on a loose lead and walking past other dogs, that's what we do. And I had a owner and dog at one end, an owner and dog at the other. As they were slowly going to pass each other, both owners slightly pulled on the lead, only slightly. And I said to the class, I said, this will be interesting. And before they could say why, both dogs literally leapt at each other barking. And when they sort of like went to their respective sort of, ends, I said to me, what happened there? So I took the dog that was nearest me and I said to the other owner, I said, we'll do that again. And as we do it again, I said, just drop your shoulder. And as she dropped her shoulder, the dogs didn't even look at each other. They just walked past.
Yeah.
So our impact on our dogs can be huge. And they can pick up stress. They can pick up family issues. You know, if the diet's not right and it's got loads of additives or preservatives or sugar, that can have an impact as well on the dog's behaviour.
Mm.
So, yeah, it can be a number of things.
What would be a tip that you would give people, just a verbal tip? Because obviously, we could talk about this for hour and an hour. What would you say was the one thing that you would go would make a difference in most people? I know it's quite a vast question.
I would say get the right trainer to help you.
Really?
Yeah. Because
do we all need to go to dog training?
Absolutely. You don't have a child and not send it to school or just send it to preschool and then bring it home and go, right, okay, well, you've done all your learning.
Yeah, I thought I'd done my puppy class, Jackie.
Absolutely. Yeah, no.
And now you told me I've got to do an adult class.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Who knew?
Well, we don't, because puppy training is very different to adolescent training, is very different to adult training.
Mm.
Because as the dog develops, so our training methods develop too. So it is still all about reward-based training and making it all positive, but it's actually adapting it so the dog learns that it does something, it gets a reward.
Should we be responsible as owners to get the right dog for us? And we talked about this. So I've got a rescue dog, and there was a reason why I got a rescue dog.
Mm.
Now, I also knew that that would possibly come or a higher risk.
Mm.
I was increasing my risk of having problems with a rescue dog.
Mm.
Blow me down. It's a massive problem, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. It's because, again, you're looking at which also has an impact on behaviour. It's previous learning.
Mm.
And very much like us, dogs learn by one trial learning. So if it's really good and it's really positive, they'll do it again. And if it's really bad, then they'll avoid it. So, you've got trial and error learning and you've got associative learning as well. So very much like humans, they learn very similar to us as well.
You told me two things, and I did it this morning, you would have been so awesome. Jackie came in the studio, I was like, Jackie, you're going to be so proud of me today. I really slowed down. I mean, ridiculously slow. And you said to me, why are you walking so fast? Why is everything so fast?
Mm. Yeah.
So I've slowed everything. I mean, the extremity of it now.
Yeah.
She's even looking at me like, what are you doing? I'm not. Mm. And then the consistency of simple language. You picked up yesterday, didn't you, with me? What do you want her to do? Do you want her to walk? Do you want to go? Because I was using sort of three different words for the same action.
Yeah. We all do. You know, we all sort of automatically, our language, you've got several words that can mean the same thing. So you have to make it very simple for dogs. And it's not the word, it's the sound of the word. And they link it to an action.
Mm.
And if you're consistent with that, they'll understand exactly what they have to do.
And also, you are managing my expectation.
Yeah.
I thought if I asked for your expertise, we'd be fine now.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
It's true, though, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
So now I'm like looking at you going, why isn't she healed, Jackie?
Yeah.
Come on, you're an amazing... But it's true, it takes time.
It does.
But people don't see the length that you go through with Teddy or Bear.
No, they don't.
They see is this amazing dog that does everything you say.
Yeah.
But I've not seen the pain and the daily consistent behaviour that you go through.
Yeah. I had, and he's a really good friend of mine, but I had 6 years of training with Teddy.
So say that again, because I don't think people hear that.
I spent 6 years training with Teddy.
Every week?
Every week. Sometimes even twice a week. Well, if I went twice a week, then he'd always use me as the demo.
Yeah.
Because he knew that I would put the work in. And, yeah, I loved the one thing that really took my breath away was watching. Well, Teddy was actually looking at me. He was waiting to do a long jump, and it was 9 foot long jump. And he wasn't looking at where he was going. He was looking at me as much to say, just say the word and I'll do it. And when you've got that trust in a dog, it just melts your heart.
But it didn't just happen, did it?
No. No.
Can you tell us a little bit about the story of Teddy? Because I find this fascinating.
Oh, okay. Well, let's backtrack and talk about Timmy, because Timmy he's unfortunately no longer here. It's my little black cat. He was the reason I actually got into this industry, because he was given to me by one of the rescue centres. He'd had 3 homes, I think, before, and he's returned. So I was sort of his last chance. And he came to me. He had very severe behavioural problems. And I knew a bit.
A cat. Right. I love this when you're going. He's got a scene. Seriously. Like what? Give us an example of what he was doing that.
For within the first week, he attacked everybody in the household.
A cat.
So everybody had varying degrees of injuries on scratches and bites. He actually attacked my face twice. And I just had to shut my eyes and just wait until it was over. And that was nothing, because he would just literally fly at you. So he's quite scary. But he got into a fight with one of the neighbourhood cats, and I ended up having to take him to the vets. Well, I had to get him in the cat carrier. So I found my husband's very thick gloves. So I managed to pick him up and push him in. And I took him down to the vets, and I've known my vet for years. And he said to me, right, Jackie, get him out. And I went, no. I said, you get him out. I said, I can't touch him. So he opened it up, and he just literally put his hand in and pulled the cat out. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. I thought, that's really interesting. And he let the vet examine him. So he put him back for me, and I brought him home. And I looked at the cat, and I thought, right, okay. There's something gone in your head that obviously has a big impact on your behaviour. So with trial and error, and within 5 months, I don't like to say cure, but addressed his behaviour. And he turned into the most beautiful cat you could ever want. And I thought, I want to go and find out about sort of, you know, why his brain changed the way he did. So that got me into the studying part. And when I phoned the college up, they didn't have any cat courses. They only had dog courses. And I thought, well, I just want to do cats. Well, to cut a long story short, I ended up doing the dog course. And sort of 8 years later, I had my qualification.
8 years.
8 years.
Wow.
Yeah. I've got probably, I counted up once, I think there's over 30 qualifications in the animal sector.
Amazing.
Everything you can think of.
Why did you do that? Why did you feel you needed to know that level and depth of knowledge?
I just thought if you were going, I did it as a hobby, but I thought if you were going to go into and offer a business, then it was important I knew everything there was to know about an animal.
And that helped me make a decision to know that you were the right person for me as well.
Because I couldn't just do a weekend course. I had to go into it.
And they're out there, aren't they?
They are. Yeah. There. So anyway, I sort of started my business and went to see a kennels, because they just sort of started and opened up. And we sort of collaborated together. And I got a phone call to say that there was this little German Shepherd puppy. Could I go and do some training? And I said, yeah, I said, I'd love to do some puppy training. I love training puppies. You've got to get it right at the beginning, but they're adorable. They're great to sort of work with. So the guy said, well, he said, you've got 10 weeks he said to put all the basic training in. And I thought, okay. I thought, yeah, I can do this. So I thought, I like a challenge. So I said, yep, that's no problem. So I had to teach him to walk on a loose lead. He had to have recall. He had to do sit. He had to do down. He had to do leave. He had to do lots of things off lead as well. Anyway, I used to go up twice a week and two. So he used to go once in the morning, once in the afternoon. And I used to train this puppy. So 10 weeks came and he turned up and he said to me, he said, right, he said, show me what you can do. Showed him what he can do. He was absolutely amazed and he took this puppy away. I went home and I cried my eyes out. My husband said, you shouldn't have got attached. And I said, I didn't mean to. And I didn't realise, you know, how much, you know, you do actually over a period of time.
So did this dog stay at home with you or not? It always stayed at the kennels?
It stayed at the kennels. So it wasn't actually with me. I would go up, they would get him out.
Got it.
And, and I would sort of do the hour's work, come home, then I'd go back again sort of like in the afternoon. And anyway, so I got a phone call. That was December. So I had a really rotten Christmas. So I got a phone call about sort of late March time to say that the puppy, the people that he was going to, didn't want him. And would I like him? So I just said yes. And I just phoned my husband up and said...
So you didn't ask hubby first. You just went, that is genius.
Yeah. So, and he said, well, I said, thank goodness for that. He said, because I was actually... thinking about getting one for you, because he said you were just so distraught. So, and the puppy's name was Teddy. So at 6 months, he came home, but he'd had different training sort of put in. And it was unpicking that training and then sort of redoing sort of the training that I sort of eventually did with him.
And is that what we have to do? Do we have to unlearn and then reteach? Or teach the correct behaviour? I suppose that's judgmental, but I don't know.
Yeah, it is. It's really sometimes if you can get a puppy and you can get it's like having a whiteboard. It's having like a brand new computer and you can put all your programs in. Mm. So you can actually teach the puppy right from the start. If you have an older dog or a dog that you've rehomed, it's gonna come with baggage. And that can be good and bad. So it's looking to see, and because that dog can be stressed, it can be fearful, it can be anxious because it's going into an environment where probably it's very alien. It's like the dogs that do come in from abroad. You know, they could have been outside dogs. We're now asking them to live indoors.
Honey was a classic street dog.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's come from a line of street dogs. Yeah. She was left to die by the side of the road at 9 weeks old. So you and I know that she's going to have probably been taken away from mum. Yep. There's all that. And you're dealing with that, I suppose, as well, aren't you?
You are. You have to take the animal's emotions into consideration. And that's why it's so important to actually get the training right and to use, you know, the right methods. And, you know, I always go by if I wouldn't use that type of training or method on my own dogs, then I'm never going to use it on anybody else's.
I said to you a few things and it was like, how do I know what's right? Because I go to puppy class, I'm taught this way. You said to me, how do you release her off? And I went, peasant, I don't tell honey to go. So there were lots of things that I felt I was a really great owner, but I'm doing it wrong.
Yeah.
How do we know?
Oh, that's a real big one. But I think it's actually, if you're going to a class, I always say to owners, go and view the class. Don't take your dog. Go and
you're
look
so
at the
right.
class.
Yeah.
Go and see, go and perhaps even talk to the owners. How much time is the trainer or the behaviourist or whoever's running the class is spending with each owner? Is it balanced? Is it more with one person? And why is it more with one person? Or, you know,
is it the naughtiest dog that gets the attention?
Yeah. Or is it the better behaved dog that gets it? And if you're going to phone someone up, ask them. One of my questions I always ask people who phone me, What do you want to achieve? What are your goals? If you were to employ me, what's your goal? Because it's so important to find out where that owner is.
I'm not even going to put the song on, Jackie, because we've just got so much to talk about. Okay. I know, you're like, oh, I really love that song. We were going to have a song, but I'm not, because I'll just lose Jackie. And it's just so fascinating to me. What had to end for a beginning for you?
What had to end? It was a very short ending, because when I got Teddy, I was doing a job from home, and that ended. So it wasn't a huge leap from me to actually start my own business, but it was a little one. What's had to end recently is the classes that I used to do for adult ed, and I've been doing them for 20 years. And I think the saddest thing was that no one actually, there was one lady who worked on reception that came down to say goodbye. And I thought, after 20 years, but that's fine. It just meant that that door was shutting. And my new centre for training and behaviour can be, you know, can be opened.
What do you want from your centre? What do you, because I'm fast, I love what you're doing.
There's lots. There's some new things that are coming up, which, you know, I've sort of sat down and done some research and found that there's no one else offering them. And I thought, well, that'd be good. So they're fun things, which I think is good. One of the key things for me to have my centre was to have the land so I could rent it out for people who had dogs that didn't have very good recall, dogs that perhaps were suffering from some, you know, sort of joint problems, but wanted a nice relaxed walk, elderly dogs, dogs perhaps that aren't good with other dogs. So they could come and rent my field for an hour and walk around and just have a relaxed walk.
And it's bomb-proof.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's because the times that I've been out and I've taken, and I've had the experience myself, you know, I've taken Teddy to the local parks. I've thought, right, okay, we'll do a bit of training here. So I've sat him down to do what I call like a set recall, put him in a weight. I've walked away and I could hear all this barking and I've turned around and there's a dog that's leaping on him and he's ignoring the dog. And you know, the other owners are laughing because their dog's leaping all over my dog and my dog's trying to ignore him because he's focused on me.
And I bet the other owner's going, it's okay, he's as good as gold, he's fine.
Yeah.
Because I was that owner going, honey's fine, she's fine.
Yeah.
But actually, when you and I are training her now,
yeah,
I'm like, can you please take control of your dog?
Yeah.
So I get it.
Yeah. It's important for dogs to run around, but it's so important to actually have control of your dog.
Oh.
I wrote an article a couple of years ago and it was entitled She-He is Friendly. Because the amount of people that would take their dogs to the park and just let them out the boot while they're fiddling around trying to put their shoes on. And this dog is running around haywire. And oh, it's running around the car
That's
park.
Me.
And you know, it's got signs up at the car park. Please keep your dogs on leads. And it's causing havoc, you know, the traffic of all stationary. And, you know, they've got their phones out. They've put their earphones in. And when I was sitting watching, I just think, you're here to take your dog for a walk. Then engage with your dog. The secret of actually owning a good dog is actually having a bond. And that bond isn't about socialising with all the other dogs in the neighbourhood or in the park. It's about the bond between you and your dog.
And we've talked about this with me, and I'll use me because I thought I was this great responsible dog owner that she comes everywhere with me, and oh, I've socialised her on the bus, and she goes on the trains with me, Jack, and we've laughed, haven't we? And there I am going for a run with her, and there's no connection on that run. We debated it, haven't we?
Yeah.
And yet I think I'm doing the most amazing things with her.
Yeah.
My intention's great.
Yeah.
But my knowledge was zero. I can honestly say you've imparted knowledge that I didn't know.
Yeah. And any one part of Teddy's training was to actually teach him a send away. That means the dog has to run as fast as he can away from you. Now, that takes a lot of trust and bond between the handler and the dog. And I'd send him to a spot sort of on a fence post or a pole or something. And then I'd blow my whistle or I'd shout, sit, and he'd spin round and he'd stop. And he'd stay there until I'd get to him. Now, for him to do that, again, he has to trust. So the bond there that I've built up with him, I have played with him till, you know, I'm blue in the face until I think I cannot play with you anymore because I'm exhausted. But I've done that day in, day out, and I still play with him because play is part of that bonding process.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. Here's the seven what's one who. Seven questions, beginning with what, that aren't about you or I, Jackie. They're about you, my darling. They're about you hearing me ask Jackie the question. Then you're going to hear Jackie's answer and you're going to think, wow, what would I have said? What do I believe to be true? So here it is. Number one, what are you paying attention to that you deeply care about?
Animals. Just my dogs. I pay attention to their behaviour, what I'm doing on their training, what I'm not doing on their training, and what I'm actually saying to them, because I have to watch my body language and my sort of speech when I'm sort of interacting with my dogs.
Can you just tell us a story? I love this, about Bear the other day with the gate.
Oh, what with him? Just yeah, he. He knows.
So Bear's 5 months.
Bear's 5 months. And I have taught him that when the gate opens, Teddy goes through first, he sits and he just looks at me. And he doesn't move until I tell him to.
So I'm going to, before we go in, why is it important that the dog looks at you?
I call it focus. So if you haven't got a dog's focus, how can you train them?
Honey's not wasn't even looking at me, was she?
No. No. If you've not got their attention, you cannot possibly train a dog. So all my training will start with some focus training, and you just then hone it in and hone it in and hone it in. Because if they look at you and they go, right, I'm ready, and I'm just going to sit here until you tell me I can go, and then he goes, and then he can run around the field and do what he wants. And that, to me, that's important.
Number two, what topic is off limits for you? You won't even go there with it.
I don't think there is, within reason. No, I don't think so, because when I go and see owners and I have to have a conversation with an owner, you have to have sometimes an intimate conversation with them more or less straight away, because you're working on a very emotional level.
It's hugely emotional.
It is. Yeah, it can be painful. You know, it can be in tears. You know, often, you know, the husband, wife or partners will often have rows. Children will often have a tantrum. And a great one is, if you've got small children, the parents may say something to me and the child will be busy sitting on the floor colouring. They go, you don't do that.
Really?
So, oh yes, children tell you an awful lot. So does the dog. If you walk in and the dog prefers to sit with you rather than their owner, that speaks volumes.
What does that say to you, though?
It says how stressed the dog is.
Okay.
And it's more or less, oh, thank goodness you're here.
What is it that you have that that owner doesn't?
I don't know. I think I'm in when you look at it very sort of black and white, it's being very consistent. But as my husband says, he says, you know that dog will do that, say for example, sit, even before you've taught it to. And he said is something that other people don't have.
Is that do you believe in that's your gift, that's your purpose, why you're here? Do you believe that you've studied and watched and you're curious about that?
I think it's always my mum. I think we all sometimes had those little sort of like baby books, and they'd write in sort of like what you liked and what you didn't. And one of the things my mum consistently wrote in the book is how much I had a connection with animals and how much I loved animals.
Mm.
So I had that from a very early on sort of stages. And, you know, I went horse riding when I was sort of two, and, you know, I had a, we had a puppy, a West Highland Terrier named Angus. And he was my, you know, my first dog. So, and when the television came on and Barbara Woodhouse, bless her, don't agree with all her methods, but it was revolutionary, you know, that someone on the telly was doing all this training. And I just thought, wow, you know, it's impressive. Mm. and sort of being able to train an animal. But, and again, sort of training has sort of like really sort of gone on and changed and adapted, you know, whereas we used to think that, you know, we could relate the same behaviors to animals to wolves or dogs to wolves. We'd have to sort of be alpha wolf and we'd have to be dominant over it. That's not the case anymore. It's so very different.
Well, we spoke about this, didn't we? I thought I took my role with Honey really responsibly. So I started to watch Caesar Milan. If you're listening, Caesar, hello. But, you know, I started to watch other great, well-known trainers.
Mm.
Is my silence deafening?
Mm.
Mm.
Yes.
So this dominance of don't put the food down. We talk about it.
Yeah.
Don't put the food down until the dog sits. Or, you know, and that's somebody's methodology.
Absolutely. Or eat before the dog does.
Yeah.
Or make sure you go through the doorway first. Make sure the dog doesn't sit up on the sofa with you. And I often say to owners, what has that got to do with your dog's behaviour?
It makes me laugh.
How is that going to help your dog? And this is another thing when I ask owners to actually, when they go to classes or they speak to behaviourists and trainers, I said, ask them questions, because I expect you to ask me questions if you come to class.
Mm. Is it, and I'm going to say this just so that, is it best that we have you as a one-to-one to start with and then come to class when we are ready for a not so much one-to-one? I mean, I've gained so much from you.
I think that depends on everybody's sort of perception. Sometimes they'll come to class and then they go, well, actually, you know what? A one-to-one's better.
Yeah.
It's more, a one-to-one's more personal. It's more in-depth. And people tend to relax because then they've got me the whole time I'm there.
So I'm going to poke the bear a little bit here. I watched this program last night. It was a dog behaviorist.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes in and he sees them in one day
mm-hmm.
and they're cured. I know that's not true.
Yeah.
I know how much work I'm putting into Honey.
Mm. And that's the thing that people see, is that I think these TV programs are great because it makes us look at the situation that perhaps those people are in, and it highlights something in us to say, right, okay, perhaps we need to actually investigate it. I sometimes think there's lots of research that perhaps go into these programs, so and lots of perhaps editing, which is natural. So it takes a long time. If you think a dog that's put in, say, one of the forces and their training, it takes them 2 years of solid training day in, day out to get the dog that they've got at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So if you think of that as the professional side, and then you think of the human side of the pet owner, you can at least times that by six.
Mm.
So it will be a good 10 years of full training, because we wouldn't do it every day.
No, of course not. I am at the minute, Jackie. Yeah. I'm a great student at the minute, but you and I know that time decreases that level of commitment and discipline, and it does.
Yeah.
We're just human.
Yeah, we are.
Number three, what has come from your success?
And Teddy and Bear. They are the ambassadors for not only their breed, but also for what I do. So that has come from my success. Definitely.
Number four, what delights you?
Teddy and Bear. You know, without a shadow of doubt, if someone said to me, oh, I'll go do your swap with your dogs, and I go, no, you'd have to kill me first, because they are just so part of me. And when I go home in a minute, they will be so ecstatic to see me. And there's the unconditional love, and they're just the looks. And they don't follow me around, but they are just so pleased to see me. My husband and I arrived home within 5 minutes of each other, and he was sort of walking down the pathway to actually open the door. And I was sort of like coming down the pathway with him. And as he opened the door, and he went bend down to say hello to the dogs, and they just shot past him straight to me. So he said, I said, okay, so I know my place.
Yeah. But you're the trainer. You do everything.
Yeah.
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 Would you want it that way? Do you want them to respond to him?
They would. They will.
Sorry if he's listening.
No. they will do. But it's to the point where he knows when I was training Teddy, because we were doing working trials. So that was a big difference. And I wanted to have that start to finish training experience. And I want the same sort of like with Bear.
Number five, what progress are you resisting?
Oh, what progress am I resisting? I don't think at the moment there is anything that I'm resisting. I tend to try and be open to new ideas and new ventures. And I think at the moment, the only thing that I'm resisting is time. Because I want everything. I want the house done now.
Mm.
So
how did you move from being an employee to a businesswoman?
I've always had family who have been done work on their sort of like they've had a business or, you know, a small business, or when they've worked for someone, they've always been freelance. So I've always had that model to actually.
So important, isn't it, to see?
It is, absolutely. So, and I've always had, my grandmother was a great drive for, you know, continuing work to keep your brain sort of occupied. And bless her, she drove right up until she was in her 90s. So, you know, she was, I think I've had also very strong women in the family, and that strength always, if you've got that support, it's fabulous.
Number six, what weight are you carrying?
What weight am I carrying? I think sometimes it's always the weight of regret that I didn't do this sooner. But there again, I think my belief is that things always come to you when it's time.
Were you ready?
Yes, I was ready. I was ready to take that. And it didn't seem a leap when I started the business. It was a nice sort of gentle step. And it's developing, and it still is.
Number seven, what is the impact of your work?
The impact of my work is to see an owner enjoy their dog. To me is, it just makes my heart sing. It's lovely. To know that I've made a difference is just, well, it's beyond words.
And who are you today?
Today, I'm just Jackie. I've not got my sort of professional persona on. I'm just being me. Because I think that's also important too.
So before I ask you the final question, I told you it just goes ridiculous. I just didn't want to put the song in, Jackie. I didn't. I'm sorry, darling.
No, it's fine.
Before I ask you the final question, how do we get hold of you? How do we connect with you? Where can I find you?
You can connect with me on, if you look at my website, which is specialistdogtraining.co.uk, and just look out for all the new sort of things that are around.
You've got videos on there and things like that, haven't you?
Yes, yeah. I've got some great videos and sort of, there's lots of information. I do a Thursday's training tip, well, it's Teddy's Thursday's training tip, top tip. That goes out, obviously, on a Thursday. Mm-hmm. Bear is now sort of like doing his tips as well. So it's Bear's big puppy tip that goes out as well. So he's buying the same thing with Teddy. And I also have a canine fact, which is just like a little video that pops up. So, you know, you've got three different ones that come out and they alternate sort of like each week. And then sort of, Easter time, we're coming up for Easter. There's my sort of little vlog that I've got sort of on sort of like for Easter eggs and things like that. To be safe around sort of like Christmas time, Easter time, and also during the summer as well. And they always, at the moment they just feature Teddy, but I'm sure Bear will get into it as well.
Of course. Yeah. So here's your final question.
Go on, then.
Share one piece of wisdom that you would love to be known for.
Think that that she was kind and considerate to me and to my dog.
Do you know what? I was going to put money on what you were going to say.
Yeah.
And you didn't say it.
Oh, did I?
No, you didn't.
Oh.
You've let me down, Jackie.
Oh, really?
What is your book going to be called, Jackie?
Oh, God. Every opportunity. It's a training opportunity.
I love it. I love it. We were walking it on Monday and Jackie sees, literally we'll go two steps. She goes, stop, Sarah, do this. Can you see this? This person. Da, da, da. And she went, every opportunity is a training opportunity. And I looked at her and I went, Jackie. She went, yes. I went, that's your book title.
Yeah.
So I'm going to hold you accountable. In a year's time, we want to see a tangible product.
A tangible product, right.
Every opportunity.
It's a training opportunity. Brilliant.
Jackie Murphy, thank you so much. Thank you for standing tall in the arena. Thank you for sharing you with me today. And thank you for your patience and your resilience, because without those two, you would have lost me, wouldn't you? You'd be like, what are you doing, Sarah? So thank you so much, my darling.
No, thank you for letting me come on and just speak. Brilliant.
So, my darling, have a truly amazing week. It has been my absolute honour to bring to you the most extraordinary people making an impact in the universe. Remember, keep reaching every day and go shine bright.